Thank you for listening to the WEEM Weekly Podcast. Join us next time at 917WEEM.org or wherever podcasts can be found.
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of WEEM Weekly. This is episode 9, and today we're going to talk with my coworker, Jenny, about Read and Feed and the library here in Pendleton. And then further down in this episode, Sophia got to sit down with a student for a band clinic interview that just recently happened. And then I got to talk to Allie Reidenauer about her experiences with the Madison County Art Show that just recently happened. So there's a whole lot in this episode, but right now we're going to focus on Read and Feed. Jenny, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit?
Thank you, Brooklyn. My name's Jennifer Hughes, and I work at the Pendleton Community Library. I started off as a circulation assistant and part-time, and then they allowed me to have responsibilities with the food pantry and the community garden. And when I went full-time, that took up a lot of that time.
So you said responsibilities with the food pantry. Was it already established by the time that you kind of took on that role? What did it look like then compared to what it looks like now?
Yeah. So when it started out, I think the community garden started first. And it was the idea, I'm not sure if it was Lynn Hobbs, the director, or Tyler Goff, who was the circulation manager at the time, but they wanted to start a community garden, and they partnered with the Pendleton Parks to use a spot that's right there next to the library in front of the pool, in front of Brown's Pool, and they created the community garden. And then they needed a way to distribute the produce to neighbors in need. And so they were taking it, they were harvesting it and taking it to local pantries. And that was taking up, just too much time. And then they thought, well, this is something we could do ourselves. And so then they started the food pantry.
That's really, interesting, especially since, just to, begin with, a community garden isn't, something that you see often in libraries. I think that our library definitely has, in my limited experience of libraries, a very, diverse type of
offerings. It's very unique that way.
Yeah.
The way Lynn would say it is, we fill the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at issues in our community, and one of those things was food insecurity is what they call it. And that's when someone, might be worried about where their next meal comes from. And they thought, this is a problem we can solve. And we have, a very friendly, welcoming space to do that. And a space with no barriers. Anybody can come to the library. Anybody can come to the pantry. It doesn't matter your age, your religion, your socioeconomic background. Everybody is welcome. And I think that's what makes the library special.
And so something with our Read and Feed pantry is that it isn't something that you have to be a patron or a member of the library to
to patronize the pantry.
There you go. Yeah. Has that always been the case?
That's right. You don't have to have a card. Although if you wanted a card, you could get it. But the only requirement for our pantry is we hope that people will live in our three townships that the library services, and that's Fall Creek, Green, and Adams Townships. We have had people come from outside of those service areas, and anybody that turns up, they're going to get food.
Mm-hmm.
If you're showing up to the pantry, we assume you need food. And something we've been working on then recently is, if you are coming from out of the area, what pantries are operating that are more convenient to you in your area? And so we're trying to collect that kind of information and get people resources that, maybe are easier for them to get to.
And I definitely think that, from, what I've learned with Read and Feed and just in general, food pantries might not be the most, advertised thing in the world, which is weird since they're, so necessary to people and they are such a big thing that our kind of few and far between, I would say. So having that resource to, even if you go here once and you don't live in our area, you can still find hopefully somewhere a little closer to you.
I've been doing this over 10 years and I'm still just learning about other pantries crop up, you know, then their funding, you know, doesn't always pan out and then mm-hmm. they have to close. And so we do have to keep up with the information, and sometimes that can be hard because it is hard to find them. They're not always, they don't always have the most current things on online. And I don't know if you've ever heard of 211, but you can dial 211 and get emergency services. It was abysmal before COVID, and then during and after COVID, I think they sent a lot of funds that way, and they have improved it, but I think it's still hard to keep track of what resources are available and, you know, what their schedules are, mm-hmm. how they work, who is eligible. But it's good that they're around, but it's very important for us to keep up on that information, mm-hmm. being the library and all. And
yeah, 100%.
Information services.
And I think that Pendleton does well with, like, advertising. I mean, like, you're sitting down right now with me, like, talking about Read and Feed. We have on our website, there's a plentiful amount of information about the library and the Read and Feed program. You can always walk up to anyone that's at, like, our desks, and they'll give information about it. And something that I think maybe is commonly, like, thought of is that we only function one day out of the week. What's the difference between that Thursday that Read and Feed, like, operates completely versus any other day?
Well, first of all, it is shocking because people still don't know that we exist. So doing something like this is thanks mm-hmm. for letting us do this so that we can get the word out. Anybody can come to the pantry any day of the week. They can come once a week. Mm-hmm. But Thursdays are different because that's the day we are able to offer fresh produce and baked items. The way it works is someone will come in on a Thursday and they're able to pick out 10 non-perishable food items. Did I say this already?
Yes. I mean that part, but yeah.
And then on Thursday, depending on what we get, it's always that's always fluctuating. It could be a lot of baked items. It could mm-hmm. be a lot of produce in the summer when the gardens are all going. But the other days, we don't have those things.
And so with the gardens, we did just like kind of get out of winter. It's just so cold outside today. I opened the door and it was freezing outside.
Yeah,
should not be this cold. Anyways, but for, I guess, the winter and times that the garden isn't accessible to us, mm-hmm. Where do you get the food?
We purchase the produce from Needlers. They very graciously donate their baked items. And then the funding comes from, well, it started off with grants and some help from the United Way. Now, the United Way did stop funding us because they see us as a Band-Aid program. That means, you know, you're helping somebody that day, but it's not a long-term mm-hmm. Program, which I actually support. I'm glad that they want to fund these other programs that help people more long term. Mm-hmm. Our biggest supporters now are private donations. The township trustees do support us, and we get a lot of donations from the Boy Scouts. We've gotten some from the Girl Scouts. There are local sororities that help us out. There are so many, Lions Club, Kiwanis, a lot of people just can bring food right to the library, and whatever you do, that's the nice thing about it. Everything is local. Mm-hmm. The food comes from people in the community. They donate a can of green beans. It gets into somebody's hand probably that same day,
mm-hmm.
and it's somebody that might be your neighbor.
There are, so you mentioned a lot of like companies and a lot of clubs. How do they get involved if, say, I were like a new club wanting to get involved with Read and Feed and to donate, how exactly would that process work? Do you have any part in that?
However, you know, you raise your funds, you just contact the library, and if you were collecting food donations, you could bring them to the front desk. If it was a monetary donation, again, you would just bring it in, and it would get to our financial office, and they put it into the it's our office manager that would take that in, and then she does most of the purchasing for the non-perishable food items. And Payless and Anderson, I think they give us a pretty decent deal, and we buy things on sale, and she's really good at keeping an eye on those funds and using them, you know, very judiciously.
Yeah, that's very, like, cool that, especially like grocery stores where you really wouldn't think, like, would maybe get as involved as like a club that's kind of local to help Read and Feed. I wouldn't have expected that, but I also didn't realize that like restaurants fund our game corners. So right. A lot of the community and a lot of the businesses around us are extremely like generous when it comes to the public and community. Maybe more
Pendleton
than
is a very supportive community. Mm-hmm. Very giving community. I've just been overwhelmed sometimes by people's generosity here. And it's in all different ways, but they don't see the gratitude at the end of the day. And I do. Mm-hmm. People who come in to use the pantry, they are struggling, but they are very grateful for the help. And I wish everybody could see that.
Yeah. And I think the library helps contribute to that by offering a garden and offering the Read and Feed pantry and all those things.
Yeah, we do a lot of non-traditional programs, mm-hmm. and I think people don't, you know, you think of the library, you think of books.
Yeah.
But ours is unique. It's very warm. It's very welcoming. The staff are friendly, and they want you there. They want you to be there. And I think that's part of the success of our Read and Feed program too. You know, I'm genuinely glad to see the faces and learn the names, you know, I love meeting folks.
Yeah.
And when you can meet folks and help folks. And I don't think people think of Pendleton as maybe needing a pantry, but guess how many families have come through Read and Feed since we started?
I think I knew this number. I think you've told me it before. I don't know. How many is it?
Take a guess.
6,000.
No. That's very high. But 2, for a community 000. This size, last count was 740 families.
Whoa.
Have been helped by
And that's families. That's not even individual people. That can be 2 to 3 people in just one family.
Sometimes more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes.
I think I was thinking single. 600.
Yeah, you were close.
6,000.
770.
You were close. Okay.
It was a bit of an overshoot.
Yeah, I was maybe, I don't know. Really
how many
know
people live in this town? But you know what? That's the thing about it, too. Like, I think, you know, that's the thing I think the library is trying to achieve is this notion of toxic shame, or that you should be ashamed, you know, that's one of the reasons why we went fine free. We don't want you to feel shame because you owe 10 cents or whatever. We don't want you to feel shame because you might need help. Everybody needs help. Everybody needs help. And, you know, no one should feel, you know, like they can't come in and ask for the things they need. That's why we're there, to fill in those gaps when somebody has a problem or they need something. We're the people who try to get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, filling the gaps works perfectly as like a general overview of what Pendleton, I almost said Heights, Community Library does. It's really cool. Like, that's not something that I've ever seen before. And do you think that there will be any more like changing and expansion to Read and Feed? Do you feel like it's very well developed and something that is kind of consistent?
I think what we do works for us. Mm-hmm. I've seen other pantries that, or I've heard of them. They're massive. They have refrigeration. They do big programs and big dinners. That's not what we do. But I think what we do really works for the library. It works for, you know, our patrons. And as far as any major changes, I don't see that.
Yeah.
I don't see that. But.
And clearly it's working. It is 700 working. People, you know, that's not families.
And I'm trying to think. I should have looked it up. What year did it start? I've been totally there 13 years, so I want to say it's 15, 16 years.
What did it say on the website?
I don't know.
Read and feed.
I don't think so.
Pendleton.
But
menu.
Like I said, I've been here 13 years, and it was 2 or 3 years before I started.
Mm-hmm.
There, you know, I know they had some. You asked, you know, how did it start out? They eventually had the trailer that went to all three townships, and we would visit Markleville, which is Adams Township, then come to Pendleton, which is Fall Creek Township, and then go to Ingalls, which is Green Township. And our numbers started to go down, and I think, you know, it was just harder for people to remember these shorter time slots and mm-hmm. trying to get to the trailer on time. It was a really cool setup, and we, you know, had a good time doing it. But we saw less and less families that way. And then COVID hit, and it was, you know, really tight quarters, and people mm-hmm. would be standing outside in the heat, you know, and horrible heat and horrible cold. And so then one winter, you know, we said, let's move it inside. And our numbers went up. And then we tried going back out on the trailer once, and it just didn't seem to work as well. And I think now people have a consistent and comfortable and safe space where they can come in, and they do come in.
Mm-hmm.
We went from maybe 5 families a week to seeing anywhere from 29 to 35 families a week. So it's getting it to the people in a different way, but I think this way is working very well. And I think it's a really lovely time too for people to come in and see a friendly face, or, you know, sometimes they chat each other up, and mm-hmm. it can fill that social need too.
Yeah. And I think especially we talk a lot about Read and Feed, but Read and Feed is located in like a library, and a library, you know, as much as it has so many other things, it's got books for people to mm-hmm. read, and it's got like play areas for children. So families can come in, and, you know, even if you go get food and like your kids go to the playroom or like check out books, like there's so much that you can do with Read and Feed. And especially in like a generalized location, like the library, it gives you tons of opportunity. It doesn't have to be just a trip to get food. It's a trip to read a book and play and all these things.
Yep, exactly that. You know, books are our brand. You know, mm-hmm. when you think of a library, that's your first thought is all the books. But it's so much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a proper community center. And I have never felt more a part of a community than I did here, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not from here, but I feel like a genuine attachment to this place very significantly.
Yeah. Pendleton's got like a weird, like, kind of bigger town, but also like little town vibes mm-hmm. that people like. And
it's
I definitely think it all
place.
Fits together. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for this interview. Is there anything else that you would like to maybe talk about? With Read and Feed?
I'm sure there's something I've forgotten. But when we make this our continuing series, we'll get into it.
Of course.
No, thanks for having me. Thanks for putting this out there. I hope people will listen. And if they need help, they'll know they can come and get. We always say start at the library.
Yeah.
When you need help, start at the library. Everybody there, I think, is there because they genuinely have a mission to help people.
Yeah.
So continue that.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And next up will be the band clinic interview. Sophia got to sit down and again talk about the band clinic that just recently happened. So stay tuned for that. And thank you so much, Jenny, for being here with me.
Cheers. Thanks, Brooklyn.
Hi. Now here's a short promotion before our next segment.
OMG, did you see 91.7 WEEM's new Instagram post?
Yeah, how do they always have the coolest content?
Keep up to date with what's going on in the station, as well as around the campus and community, by following us on Instagram, X, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube.
Online, on air, and on demand. 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to another segment of WEEM Weekly, and here I am joined by
Percy Motzinger. Hello.
And we are going to be talking about something recently. I say recently, it was last night, of the Clinic Day concert that our band had, and both me and Percy are in band, and we both are in percussion, so we're going to be talking a little bit more on, like, the percussionist, like, perspective and just how the concert went, really. Excited? Now, what's your overall impression of, like, last night's clinic? Like, did anything, like, particular stand out to you, or
it was definitely an interesting cut. Like, I feel like there's a little bit of chaos backstage, but overall it was a fairly good concert. It was fairly average other than the little bit of chaos backstage.
Yeah,
I actually played a lot less in this concert than I normally do, like, music wise like, I played in less songs.
I do agree with that. Like, we obviously are, for every other concert, we have like 4 or 5 songs. But with Clinic Day concerts, it's to prepare us for ISMA. So we only have like 3 songs. And then even then, like, one of the songs was like, I think, only 3 people played it. And the 9 people in percussion, so only 3 people in percussion out of the 9 are playing it. And then one of them, I feel like a lot of people didn't play it, but there's still a good amount. And I played a healthy amount of that song. I played a lot. And then in the last one, I think everyone played in it, but I played about 6 measures. So it was quite the riveting concert for me, but pretty boring. It's fine. I mean, I think we have some more exciting ones coming up. I know we have some more interesting music, like for our ISMA contest music, we have, I can tell it's like a lot better than this concert. Yeah. It's a lot more interesting, but that's that. How does Clinic Day help you prepare for the upcoming concert season, more specifically ISMA, like I just talked about?
Well, it definitely prepares you to be definitely on stage and play the music in front of an audience. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like the entire point of the preview concert. And since the middle schoolers and I think was 6th grade there? I think 6th grade
I think
was there.
I don't remember. It might be, I think so.
It prepares them for a larger scale concert that us high schoolers are definitely used to.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, for sure. And what specific things did you, like, work on this concert? Like, what did you work on?
Well, I played snare, which is the snare drum. It's definitely not something that I normally play in concert band. Play a lot of drums, but not that. it was in cut time. And I personally, I'm not great at that. So that was definitely a big thing that I've been working on for this concert.
Yeah. I thought your part sounded honestly really good. It came a long way. I'm not going to lie. I was like, oh, this is rough. But it's also because we never worked on it like as just percussion. And then at the end of the concert, I was like, wait, this sounds actually really good. And very proud of you. And then after clinic, and usually I say this is for like a little bit like of, I guess, background. Clinic Day, how the concerts used to work is you'd play your concert and then you'd get a clinic. But now, I think it was last year and this year, it's kind of formed in that during the week of Clinic Day, you'll at some point get it, like, in class, you'll get a clinic from someone, and then you'll go perform. Which I feel like is a little different, but just, like, just for a little bit of context. And then after our clinic, is there anything that, like, applied to you that the clinician talked to us that you want to apply to yourself? Or, I mean, for me at least, there was a few things, but
I don't remember the clinician actually like talking to me directly. He didn't really address percussion very much.
Yeah, so. Maybe once or twice, but I think it was only about like dynamics, stuff like that. But just
now, here's a short promotion before our next segment. Support 91.7 WEEM by donating today. Donations to the station help improve the students' learning experiences and opportunities. We appreciate all support from a donation or tuning in, but we can't do it without your support.
Donate today.
For more information, contact Bill Whitehair at 765-778-2161. EXT is 6094 or at bwhitehair@smcsc.com. 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. That was Sophia Bevan, and she was talking about the band clinic that just recently happened here at Pendleton Heights High School. And now I'm here with Allie Reidenauer, right? That's how I say your last name?
Yes.
Okay, cool. And we are going to be talking a little bit about the Madison County Art Show that just recently happened. And you actually won something in it. Can you tell us a little bit about what you entered into that contest?
I entered a painting called Catharsis, and it was a prominently blue painting. I think that was like the only color I used in it. Mm-hmm. And it was for a Painting One project. And I think it's like my favorite project I've ever done in art class.
Was there any like subject to it, things like that? What was your kind of goal when making it?
We were supposed to do, so the goal of the project was to create a place that brings us peace based off of a Van Gogh painting that had been made. So I chose to create a painting using only blue because I feel like blue is a very calming color. And the water and the clouds, I think it just created a painting. And what I wanted to encapture was the feeling of just sitting on a dock or beach and just feeling like the cool air and the calming sound of the waves. That's just what I wanted.
Yeah, I always think of like maybe like warmer colors to be like kind of like comforting and like calm type of colors, but like blue also kind of has that same like connotation, especially with like night in the ocean and things like mm-hmm. that. So was there any, like, I guess, decision you had to make between maybe a warmer color and a colder color, or was it just colder right away?
So I actually typically paint with really vibrant colors and a lot of colors. This is one of the first works of art I've ever made that was just kind of monochromatic.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed doing it because it helped me explore how I can create depth and color contrast without like any other colors, and it was really fun to do that.
All right, did you end up kind of sticking with that theme after that painting, or did you kind of move on to other things? What has like your kind of future projects looked like?
It actually really helped me understand like color theory and like depth and stuff. So more of my recent works, I have worked on not doing as vibrant of colors and working more with water or clouds, because I think that after that painting, I really understood the right technique and everything for it.
And then you said that this was a art, like your first art class work, right?
Yeah, it was. So I took Intro to 2D Art, and then this was Painting One. So this is the second art class I've ever taken.
What?
Sadly, I wish I took a lot more, but yeah, that was my second art class.
Are you taking more this year? Was that was last year?
The art class I'm taking this year is VisCom 1, but I'm not very good at design. I wish I could just paint more. So I don't think I'll be continuing visual communication. I'm just not good at it.
What exactly is visual communications like? How does it differ?
It's more of a design class. Like you're just designing and solving problems and stuff rather than mm-hmm. creating actual works of art. And although it's really interesting and some people are really good at it, I just can't catch on.
Are there other painting classes that you can take at Pendleton?
I mean, art classes can be all media, but mm-hmm. I think that if you want to paint, painting is the class to take. I don't know. There's like drawing, and then VisCom, you can use any media, so you could paint all of your projects if you wanted to, but for some of them, it'd be weird to do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just in our class.
Yeah.
All right. And then going back a little bit to the art show in general, what was the process of entering your painting into the art show?
So basically, you just filled out a piece of paper with your phone number and your address, and you had your teacher or your parent sign. And
All then right.
you just handed whatever two works of art you really enjoyed.
Did you submit two?
Yes, I did.
What was your other one?
My other one was a piece of work inspired by jazz. So basically it was like a jazz cafe or like a parlor or something with a piano. And just, I didn't want to make a realistic painting, but I also didn't want to make it. I was going for more, what's it called? Contemporary or something? Pop art?
I think so.
I was exploring a new style. So it has this door here with a light and then just this big room full of like ghostly people. They're not realistic. They don't have definitive features. All you could see was their faces and the outline of a suit and then a piano. And it was just inspired by the passion of jazz.
That sounds really cool.
Thank you.
So when you entered your painting into the awards, there was, I think, like a show that happened where people like kind of like stood and talked about their art. Was that something that you went to? Were you able to?
No, I had to work, but almost everybody I know went. And basically it's in downtown Anderson, and it's like this really pretty, it's beautiful in there. I can't remember what it's called, but they just have the artwork displayed everywhere, sectioned by, I think, medium. And then, yeah, you just walk around, you look at other people's art, and then after about an hour of it being open, they'll just announce the winners of certain awards and honorable mentions and stuff. It's a really nice atmosphere, and then people are always, like, super kind, and everybody's just so intrigued by everybody else.
Yeah.
It's just, it's fun. It's lighthearted.
I was kind of amazed by, like, how many people I saw go. I didn't get to go either. But I saw, like, all over my social medias, it was just, like, the art show constantly. And I was really, like, interested. There's a lot of cool pieces there, too. And looking at, like, the winners, we had a ton from Pendleton. Because this wasn't only a Pendleton thing. There was other schools that were in it, too.
It was all of Madison County, yes.
Yeah. So there was a ton of Pendleton winners.
Yeah, there was, I think it was 75% of Pendleton.
That's crazy.
That might be too high. It was at least I think 50 of us won awards. But yeah, Pendleton did really good.
Was this something that like Mr. Hunkler and the art teacher like had you guys do as like a project? Was it just something that he kind of like introduced you to?
He was like, hey, if you want people to see your work, submit a piece. That's it. That's all it was. It wasn't a project. We didn't have to do it. It wasn't he just said submit a piece if you like. He said you don't lose anything, but you might gain some money from it.
So. there were award, like, yes. Prices?
Yes, there was cash awards. Yes. Whoa. I think that's, like, I was so shocked. I was like, I'll take the cash, but that's just, it's cool. It's really
that's
interesting.
Crazy. I did not know that.
Yeah. I got like, $15. Hey, $15.
That's exactly.
That's a meal, so.
That's a meal. Yeah, I did not know that. And especially like so with the art show, did you do both paintings, right? The jazz was also a painting. There were also like multiple different forms of art that you could submit. It was very like it wasn't limited at all. There were like little packets that were passed out that had all the winners, and like looking through it and seeing like just how kind of variety there was being submitted. It was really cool. Did you ever like consider maybe doing another medium like photography or something like that?
I did consider doing photography, yes. I love taking pictures, and I just, yeah, actually the inspiration for my painting was a picture I took like a couple years ago. So yeah, I thought that I was like, I could either paint it or I could submit just pictures.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me. That'll be, unfortunately, all the time we have and the end of this episode. But stay tuned for episode 9 coming out next month. And goodbye. Thank you for listening to the WEEM Weekly Podcast. Join us next time at 917weem.org or wherever podcasts can be found.